Well, we're living in exciting times, aren't we?
Yes.
We are living in times of biblical proportion, praise God. Isn't that right? So we get to walk this stuff called life out. Praise the Lord. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone in this room today and for everyone that can hear my voice or see this video, Lord. I just bless them. Bless them, bless them, bless them. That every dream, every heartfelt desire, every passion of godliness and the kingdom of God would be revealed to them, that they may actually lay hold of their heart's desires now in this life, Lord. That, Father, those whom they love, beloved, those who they have heartfelt prayers for, may see the end of those prayers, Lord Jesus. That, Father, those people that can hear my words now would know that their words have power, and that as they speak eternal life into not only the atmosphere, but those things, those places, those people that their words are pointed for, Lord. And Father, that our words go forth with power and might, and they do not return to us void, but they absolutely accomplish the thing that we spoke out, Lord. And that thing comes to pass in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you gave us this power. You gave us this ability to create and to speak and to cause through words, Lord Jesus. So, Father, let everyone realize the glory of the kingdom of God that they manifest around themselves by the atmosphere that we create by our words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Commercial. What did God say his name was when Moses met him?
I am.
Who dwells in you? Correct. So I am dwells in you and I. And that's his name. And the way you want him to manifest in your life is just put after his name whatever it is you want. After his name, how do you want him to manifest? This is his name. This is who he is. So when you say, I am blessed,
amen.
So be it in your life. I am at peace. So let it be in your life. I am prosperous. So let it be in your life. You have the power of life and death in your words. And you're putting God's name on it every time you say, I am. Okay? I want you to know that. You have no choice. That's the way it is. You don't have a say in it. That's the way it is. When you say God's name, I am, whatever follows, it what manifests. Okay? That's how he manifests, because it's him who dwells in you. Do you get that? It's not a game. You're not playing at it. If you forget, it still is true. And you still get what you say when you say I am. Get it? That's my commercial. I'm sticking to it. It's the time of the church believing there's something missing is ending. It's ending. We are waking up from the sleep. We are rousing from the dream. And we're waking up into life, eternal, living, powerful life. And that is a gift from God. And he's the one waking us up. So be more aware than ever before how you say it is. You can be compounding trouble upon yourself by the words you say and the thoughts you think. Truly. And then when you stand before God, what excuse will you have if you created the life you have by the way you think and speak? What can you say in that? Because you created it. Are you with me?
Yes.
So by your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. Okay? This virus has nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Amen? In fact, it's a great time to travel. Tickets are cheap. I just want to let you know. All right? I just want to let you know. Take advantage of the blessing. Think of the two lepers. Right? We're going to die if we stay here. We'll die there. May as well be rich in the process. God moved them all out of the way, and they got to lay hold of the whole thing. Amen? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for who?
The just.
Let them run in terror. Let them be afraid. It has nothing to do with you and I. Do you get that? Settle yourself in it. Do not think contrary to life. Don't cut yourself any slack. Speak life. Commercial's over. Now we can get on with the message. Amen? Let's talk about Jacob, shall we? Because I'm going to set the foundation for where I want to go today. So I want to use the Old Testament to set the foundation for the New Testament. Because here's what I want to share with you. And I'm going to be on this until the Lord says otherwise. Not this topic, but this theme. And that is this. The days of being less than what you were created to be is over. The days of thinking with a condemned conscience and shame and like you're not good enough or there's something being withheld from you, those days are over. That person is dead. You have been infused with the very life of God, and He is going to dominate. That's it. In fact, He's going to dominate so much that when this body of yours, should it end before you and decomposes, He's going to rejuvenate it back to life because of the life that dwells in you and I. We are life. Get it in your head, okay? It's important. Boy, I'm not meaning to go this way. And He just keeps hitting it back again. Listen, there's a day coming when you're going to put off death. You'll have the victory over death. And it says, when the corruptible puts on incorruption. Okay? It's not just your physical flesh. If you had a computer and the hard drive was corrupted, what does that mean? What does it mean when it's corrupted? Let me ask you this. Can the keyboard be corrupted? No. Can the mouse be corrupted? No. Can the monitor be corrupted? No. What can be corrupted? The program. The program is the corrupted part. And that which is corruptible in you and me, our programming, is going to be reprogrammed to be an incorruptible. That's only life. Everlasting, perfect quality of life. With that and your body being rejuvenated, that mortality puts on immortality, right? That's your flesh. Then we have the victory over death, okay? So we take communion now to overcome the physical flesh of dying so we can put life and remind ourselves of life in the flesh, to have our flesh being rejuvenated along with faith in the Word of God and the Son of God and the work of the cross. And then we renew our mind for the corruption to be incorruptible. Okay? Whose responsibility is it to renew your mind?
Mine.
You know the easiest way to renew your mind is to see yourself differently. Let God show you the truth. Spend time with Him. Ephesians, not Ephesians, we'll go there. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Pastor Trey was talking about it Sunday morning, about being in the mirror. That the way we're changed is off of the Spirit of God, right? When we see Him, we're like Him, the Bible says, right? And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that it comes, from glory of the natural to the glory of the spiritual, from glory to glory. You see yourself differently. That when the blinders are off and you look at yourself in the mirror, you see yourself as the glory of the Lord. Who's the one seeing you as the glory of the Lord? You seeing you as the glory of the Lord. And this doesn't happen through willpower. It comes by the Spirit of God in fellowship. Comes off of Him, you see you. Doesn't it say in 1 John 3 that around verse 2 that when He appears, we don't quite know what we're fully going to be, Robert paraphrasing, but when He appears, we're going to be like Him because we're going to see Him as He is. So when we see Him as He is, we're like that. That's what we're like, right? Also, it says that in the Beatitudes, when we get the model prayer, and it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Who brings heaven to the earth? I do. You do. I manifest heaven on this earth by the way I live, the way I think, the way I be, because I know I'm a part of it right now. So I live in heaven now in all that I say and think and do. And because I'm living from heaven now, and that's who I am, of course it's manifesting in the earth because that's how I'm living, right? Are you with me? What have you guys been doing that this is so important right now? What's going on? What's happening? This is not my message at all. What's going on? Guys, listen. We're not allowed to be poor me's anymore. You're going to see it get darker than it is now. You're going to see scarier things. You're going to see more crazy behavior. It has nothing to do with you. Absolutely nothing to do with you. Let them do that. They're going to be freaking out. They're going to wonder what's going on. They're going to be in fear and terror. Let them. You're not going to turn a goat into a sheep. You're just not going to do it. Deal with sheep. The people that are approachable, the people that just haven't made up their mind about God yet. You be the light that makes it easy for them to make up their mind about God. And the people that don't want anything to do with God, leave them be. Leave them be. It has nothing to do with you. Are you with me? This is important. It's a big deal to God right now. Wake up and stop slumbering. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Now it goes on to say that these people are not, they're still in iniquity and sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the awake to righteousness part. Who wakes you up? So many people are thinking Jesus is supposed to wake you up. But if you look at that word awake, it means to arouse self, to rouse self. You shake it off. You wake it up. It's like you're laying in bed and the pillow feels so good. I'm so thankful I got this comfortable mattress. What snuggly covers I have. Oh, I love the smell of this fabric softener. What a great bed I'm in. Guess what? So what? You have a comfort, get up, get shower, brush teeth. It's time for your day. Okay? Get up in the kingdom of God and wake up to who we are. We are not allowed to identify as earthly creatures only anymore. We're heavenly. We're spiritual. So we be spiritual. Amen? All right, Lord, can I do my message now? I'm going to try. Oh, please, Lord Jesus. I am. Okay, Jacob, I just want to give you, I'm going to give you just more of a story than hitting every verse. We'll hit some of them. You remember Jacob and Esau in the Bible?
Yes.
They were Isaac's kids. Okay? Abraham blessed, was blessed. He blessed his children. They blessed their children, right? I want to talk about the blessing of God today, if he'll let me. It's really important. Maybe we needed this foundation so that we can really see what a blessing is. Jacob is a perfect example of someone who understood the power of being blessed. He understood it. He was a liar. He was a cheater. He was a mama's boy. He was a prissy priss. He had all that really soft skin. He had to put furs on his hands so that he could be hairy like his brother. Think of the hairiest person you know. That ain't like a gorilla. That's just a person with some hair. So he must have had really baby soft hands for his dad to go, let me feel your hands. Okay? He was a mama's boy. He was nothing special at all. Okay? But he understood the blessing. He really understood it. And he maneuvered his brother to steal the birthright because he wanted it. He knew what the power of the blessing was. And then he not only maneuvered his brother so that he stole his birthright, then he went and stole the blessing from his father. He lied straight up. You want to read it? We should probably read it just for some people. He absolutely lied, convinced his father. His father says, this is Jacob's voice, but you feel like Esau. Are you sure you're Esau? It doesn't seem like you are. Oh yeah, I am. Took total advantage of the fact that his dad was blind. Totally. Scammer to the max. Where's that at? It's probably around chapter 27 of Genesis, I think. Let me just look real quick. Oh, I got a string in there. Okay. Yes, 27. So, here's in verse 19 of chapter 27. He said, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game. He made him food. No wonder he was a chef. That's it. That's how he deceived his brother, too. He was a pampered chef. That's right, Esau. He was a chef. That's it. Please arise, sit, and eat my game, that your soul may bless me. Amen? So, Jacob blessed him, and here's what he said in verse 28. So, Jacob laid his hands on his son and said these words, therefore, may God give you of the dew of the heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine, let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Wow. Isaac knew the power of when he laid hands on that boy and spoke those words over him, that it would absolutely come to pass. Because God backed up Isaac and gave him the power of the blessing, just like he's given every one of us. And so then Esau was so freaked out about the whole thing. And here they're having a conversation, verse 33. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came and have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. Even though he lied, even though he cheated, even though he fooled his dad, it did not void the blessing. His behavior had nothing to do with the power of the blessing. Absolutely nothing to do with the power. This dude knew what it was to be blessed. He was a scammer to the max. Jacob means supplanter. That means he's going to trip you up if he can. He'll find a way to trip you up so he can get what you have. Can you believe that? And God honors it. Not the tripping up. The fact that he knew how powerful it was to be blessed. So in verse 35, look what it says. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau was so freaked out. In 36 it says, "And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing.' And said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Don't you have something left over for me? Isn't there anything I can get out of this deal?' Well, he did. He had a blessing for him, said that he was going to live by the sword and that he was going to serve his brother. And he couldn't reverse what he said. He absolutely could not reverse what he said. Do you know, God, when he created this earth, he blessed it. Each stage, he blessed. Every single stage. Because the power of speaking a blessing, you're going to hate this, cannot be reversed. The power of a blessing cannot be reversed. It's a law of God. When he blesses, it's blessed. That's it. And your conduct has nothing to do with it. It has to do with whether or not you accept it as truth or not. Because the blessing is not a genie in a bottle that says, "I want 200 camels. There's 200 camels. And they just appear. That's not how a blessing works. "I want gold and silver. Nope. No gold and silver. How does a blessing work? Shout it out. Say it loud. Spoken over you. How does it manifest? Bingo. What you put your hands to. Jacob still had to work. He still served Laban, didn't he? Still did. He was blessed. And he said to God, I'm going to just go over this for the time's sake. He spoke to God because as he's going over to his mom's brother's house, because he was afraid of his brother killing him because of what he did, he robbed him of his blessing and birthright. He left town and went to the family so that he wouldn't marry a Canaanite woman, so he'd still stay in the covenant of God. And when he did go over there, he had a dream one night. He laid down. You have a nice cozy pillow on your bed. He used a rock for his pillow. Laid down, put his head on a rock, and had a dream. And in that dream, heaven opened up. And he saw a ladder going into heaven. And angels were coming up and down that ladder. And God spoke to him and told him that he was giving him that blessing that was spoken over him. He woke up in the morning and he says, "I didn't realize all this was going on." Robert paraphrased. "I had no idea that the angels were ascending and descending. I didn't know. God's in this place, and I had no idea of it." So he took his pillow, stood it up on its edge, poured a bunch of wine on it, not wine, oil on it, and he called that place Bethel, the gateway to heaven. And he proceeded to say, "God, you bless me, you do this, and I'll serve you in every area. I'll even give a tenth of everything I've got to you. You're totally it for me." And he went off, found Rachel, you know, at the watering hole. She was a shepherdess, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to scroll forward. So he got cunning using that skill of his. He got lots of animals. He got lots of herds. He got servants. He grew huge. And he had that. What did he do? He skipped town without telling him he was leaving. He chickened out and fled at night. This dude was not your upstanding citizen, but he was being taken advantage of because of the blessing that was on him. And the blessing had nothing to do with his ability, with any of it. Do you understand? Am I making this clear? Then, guess what? As he goes back, God speaks to him in a dream, and then he goes on a little further, and he's going to go meet his brother, and what happens? One night, the angel of God appeared to him, or Jesus, we don't know. But he wrestled that angel. And what did he say to that angel? He told an angel, and it could have been Jesus. We don't know. He held him tight. He says, the morning's coming. The light's about to get here. I've got to go. He goes, what's your name? He goes, don't worry about my name. And he blessed him. Didn't he? Jacob knew to get a blessing. The power of someone speaking over your life. He knew what it was. And look at as he was the father of this nation, that his heirs were like the dust on the ground and the sand in the sea. He had it all because he understood how important it was to get the blessing. Have I made my point?
Yes.
Go to the New Testament. I'm not going to go here. You can just look for yourself. In Galatians, we may as well just go there. Go to Galatians. Sorry, Em. Doesn't Galatians say that we have the blessing of Abraham? Yeah, 3:14. Ready? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Right? So Abraham's blessing came to us as the Spirit of God. Right? A blessing is not the stuff. The blessing is the ability to get the stuff. Are you with me? The favor, the doors open for you. The favor comes to you. The wisdom comes to you. The way comes to you. Every advantage is given to you for you to get what has been given to you by the blessing. Are you with me? So you even get all the natural things because of the blessing of Abraham, right? And Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we got the Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll probably put the rest of our time here. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's enough right there if all that is written. He just spoke this over the book of Ephesians, over those people in Ephesus. Grace. You know what grace is? I'm going to give you a little Strong's Concordance definition of grace. Simply this. People say unmerited favor, okay? Favor you don't deserve. Hello, did Jacob deserve it?
No.
Not at all. It's favor you don't deserve. You get total favor from God and you don't even deserve it. But you get it anyway. It is the influence of God working in your heart by His Spirit. And because His influence is working on your inner person, it manifests in the outer world around you. You manifest heaven on earth because you are blessed by God and you know it. Therefore, His favor is in you as you identify with being the favored one and you live the life knowing you have God's favor and the way you act has nothing to do with it. You can't wreck it. It's unreversible. It's unreversible. It cannot be taken away from you. That's just the way it is. Sorry, you're blessed. Whether you know how to walk in it or not, it's still true. Blessings is not the stuff. It's the wisdom, the ability, the confidence, the knowing that you are the favorite of God. In every situation, if there's someone of special favor, it's you. In every situation, if there's a winner, it's you. In every situation, if there's something to be gained, it's for you. Every time. It cannot be reversed. But you have to know it's true. And peace. Peace. Grace and peace. Peace is not That's not peace. Okay? Peace is quietness. But it's not the quietness. If you were so hungry and so whipped and so poor that you just sat down under an overpass and just resigned, that's not peace. It's quietness. It's apathy, but it's not peace. But if you have all your needs met and your belly is full and everybody loves you and you have great relationships and everything good and satisfied and healthy and nourished around you, and you sit down and go, that's peace. It's to be made one again with God. That everything that's His is yours, and everything that was yours is His. You mingle the pot, it's all one pot now. Everybody gets that peace of being rejoined in quietness and rest with God. And as many have said, nothing missing, nothing broken, completely complete and whole. Okay? That's shalom. This is Irene or Irene, however you say it. And that is to be completely prosperous. In every, just fully full. So, grace and peace, he says, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, here's this blessed word in verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. With me? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's considering... What? No, he's not considering. He what? Has. Oh, this is something he's already done. Oh, okay. Has what? Blessed who? Okay, stop. Let's not go any further right now. We learn that a blessing has nothing to do with your conduct, your behavior. It has to do with what is spoken over you. Right? It's irreversible. It just comes. All you need to do is just take advantage of it. Blessed us with what? Every. Hold on. Wait a second. Every. Does that mean like a lot of? It's different than a lot of. Okay, with many. With some choice ones.
That's like infinite.
Huh? That's like infinite. If I said all, how many am I including?
Everybody.
All of it. The whole thing, right? So let's just look at this. He has blessed us with all, every. The total enchilada, the entire deal of what? Spiritual blessings. Where are they at? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places or in the heavenlies. Right? What's spiritual mean? Supernatural? No. What's spiritual mean? Of God? No. It is yes, but no. It's there, but you can't see it? Yes, but no. It's more than that. spiritual is what's not carnal. Spiritual is what's not carnal. So the blessings you've been blessed with of Abraham, you can deal with all the stuff in this world. No problem. But this blessing is every spiritual blessing. Where are they located?
In
the heavenly places. Is heaven carnal? Can flesh and blood enter the kingdom of God? So these blessings have nothing to do with what? Flesh and blood. These are spiritual blessings, non-carnal blessings that are in the heavenly places he's blessed you and me with. If you have a seatbelt, put it on. If I light on fire, do not put me out. If I spontaneously combust, just let me burn. Get out your phones. Make a video and share it, because I'm about to burst into flames. He gave us iPhones for a reason, so we can document. Amen. So that means to tell me that in God's kingdom, in God's heavenly realm, where I'm now a citizen, where I'm now seated, I've been given every blessing that's in that world too? Wait a second. Are you kidding me? I've been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? Because I'm a son of God. I'm born of God, of spirit. God is spirit and he's my father. And I am now a spiritual man. So now I've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, in the kingdom of heaven. Is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Holy smokes.
Hallelujah.
That's not the stuff. That's the ability to get all this stuff and have all this stuff and entitled to all this stuff. Everything that's in the kingdom of God is now mine. Every spiritual blessing in God's kingdom belongs to me. Holy moly. And I don't have to qualify for it. I don't have to live right for it. I don't have to do anything because he gave it to me and he can't take it away and won't take it away. It's yours whether you use it or not. Don't squander what you've been given. What am I going to say when I stand before the Lord all by myself and no one else is there? And he said, I gave you every single blessing that can be blessed upon a person. I've given it to you. Oh, well, I didn't believe you. I didn't believe you. Nobody told me. I wrote it in the book. I know, but I didn't believe it. I wrote the book before you were even born. I know, but I don't know. It just didn't sink in. You really think that's going to fly in the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
It ain't. It ain't. No condemnation. I'm just letting you know. We're waking up. That stuff out there has nothing to do with us. I'm only on verse 3. There's more to go in Ephesians. Just in chapter 1, there's like 15 things that he's given to us. Do I have time to go on just a little bit more? All right. In Christ, just as he chose what? Are you kidding me? God chose me in Jesus. He chose you. So you didn't earn it. You didn't qualify. He just picked you. He chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Wait a second. Sometimes we just got to think about what we're reading here. Before he even laid the foundations of this world, he chose you to live here and to walk in this. He gave it to you and to me before he even started the plan. So it's no mystery at all to him. It's entirely ours. Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy, just like the Holy Spirit. That's the same holy for Holy Spirit. It's only used, it's one word, it's only used for two things. The word saint and the word holy. That's it. So when he says Holy Spirit, it's Saint Spirit. Whenever he calls you a saint or holy, it's the exact same holy as Holy Spirit, not your carnal person, your spiritual person. Holy and without blame before him in love. You are pure and blameless in his sight. And his blessing is your blessing. You are absolutely his chosen person. Can I do another commercial? It's okay with you guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to let you know something. He knew what he was doing when he created you. He knew absolutely what he was doing when he created you and put you on this earth. You are his very best choice. You're not second, you're not third. You're his first choice. You're his very best possibility for bringing the kingdom of God on this earth. You're his first pick. There is no pick two. There is no pick two. If you won't do it, if you would rather identify as a carnal, fleshly person that doesn't have the blessing, isn't holy, isn't blameless in his sight, isn't loved and accepted, if you refuse to accept that as true, then you won't see the manifestation of the blessings, even though they're yours, entirely yours. If you want to think that your conduct or your birth or what you've lived through or what you're fighting in a battle right now has something to do with your blessing, I just want to tell you, you're wrong. That's a lie. It has nothing to do with your blessing. It has nothing to do with the gift of God. It has nothing to do with how far you can go in this earth to manifest the kingdom of God. There's nothing that can stop you from being everything you want to manifest in this earth. Jesus paid the price for a few of the things that are hindering us. For it all, he completely removed the debt. We are debt-free. In fact, being righteous is equitable. It's being in an equitable position. That means that we're just. We are absolutely made right. That means there's absolutely zero debt operating here. We're in an equitable position with God. We're his righteousness. We have it all. The power of your words and the way you think is everything to the way your life will manifest. If you just, boy, this is sounding like a correction, and I don't mean it to be. I'd rather it be an encouragement. Golly, nothing is withheld from you. Nothing. But you are going to have to say to yourself, like Jacob did, after he heard God speak to him that he saw the ladder, he had to make a decision. Okay, if this is true then, if this is actually true and you're blessing me, then I'm going to put everything into you. My whole life, everything is yours. I'm going to tithe a tenth of all that I have, everything. I'm going to come back to this place, everything. If what you say is absolutely true, then okay. So here's the thing. Test God and see if he's telling the truth. Why not? When I wanted to be born again and I started seeking God with all of my heart, I had to ask to be born again at least 14 times before it became real to me. Before I felt my sins wash out of my body and I felt the presence of God clean me. And then my eyes were opened and I saw a new life, A new life was in me. A new way. I knew my conscience was cleansed. And I knew the weight of sin had been lifted off of me. And I knew I was born alive again. But I had to keep hitting it and keep hitting it and keep hitting it until it became real for me. And then I wanted to see the Lord's face. And I just kept, I said, if this book is true, I'll do whatever it says. And I pressed in and pressed in and pressed in and pressed in. And then the Lord manifested and put me in outer darkness. You guys know my testimony. I was in outer darkness where my body was here and I was there. And the real me was there. And I was scared to death because my entire existence was all about me instead of about him. And I want to let you know, it's not, wow, I can't even tell you how scary it is to be completely alone with yourself. No hunger, no sleepiness, no temperature, nothing to look at, nothing to hear, nothing to touch, no way to go anywhere, just alive with just your memories. And that's it. That is a horrible place to be. Horrible, horrible place to be. And I was there. And he held open a Bible for me and said, this, learn it. And when you speak, speak as I would speak, agape. That's love. That's charity. Learn this. Let this be your foundation of life. You guys have heard my testimony. He took everything I believed and said, no more. That's not the truth. No, this is the truth. And he says he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. That's just the truth. Don't test him or tempt him, yes.
But you're telling us to test him.
The Bible says to test to see whether or not you're in the faith. So you need to do the test for yourself and to see if it's true what he says. And this is how you test God. This is the incorrect way. This is the no. I'll tell you the no first. All right, God, if I'm blessed, give me a Maserati. I want it in my garage when I get home. Oh, by the way, I don't have a garage. Build me a garage. Put a Maserati in it, and I want it to be red, full of gas, keys are in the ignition, insurance paid, and the title in my name in the glove box of the car. I'll be home in 35 minutes. That's the no.
Okay.
This is the yes. Okay, Lord, you said you'd give me every spiritual blessing. I'm going to put my whole heart into building a business. I'm going to put my whole heart into getting my body healed. I'm going to put every thought, every feeling, every bit of my attention into looking in your Bible and into finding my keys to unlock my door. And I'm going to put my entire being into seeing if this is true. And I'm going to prove it. I'm going to find out how this works. And you put your whole everything into proving it. And find out if it works. Find out if it works. But it's integrity between you and God. Jacob believed he was blessed, and so he connived ways to win. He dreamed dreams of how to win because he believed he was entitled to have it. When you believe you're entitled to have it, go for it and see if your entitlement comes to truth or not. But here's the wonderful thing about when you believe it's true. You never stop till you have it. You don't have an expiration date on it because you know it's yours. And so you'll get it. It's as simple as that. When you know it's yours, then guess what? It is. And my stuff always finds me. I'm always with my stuff. So when I believe it's mine, I will have it. But I have to realize, let the light go on. Ding! I'm not disqualified. It's not dependent on me. If salvation was dependent on you, I would be in a world of hurt. If my wealth or health or relationships depended on what you can provide for me, I will have a bad life. You are not what can provide for me. But Jesus did, and the cross did, and it paid everything. It did everything. We don't have influence over the blessing. We can't wreck it. All we can do is believe it. Now, okay, sober moment. Jesus, you are Lord. Sober moment. What do you do when your heart tries to disqualify you because you've been living a certain way for so long that it doesn't seem like it's true? What do you do? Especially when you think you've been believing and doing everything for it. What do you do? This is the part where audience participates. Unless you just really don't know. You do. This is what you have to do. You have to get together with God in your Bible and figure out what's blocking it. Really, what do I believe? What am I experiencing right now that's telling me this is not true? Because I want to let you know something. One second. In the heavenly realm, our excuses don't cut any mustard whatsoever. None. They don't. Angels are waiting for you to say the same thing God says. That's just the fact. They aren't moved by sympathy. They're not moved by that. They're moved by speaking life, by sounding like it sounds in heaven, by acting like it is in heaven, by being the way it is in their environment, heaven. When we line up with that truth, they aid and assist us in that. But we're the ones that can't let the darkness lead us, the fear lead us, the bondage of the flesh lead us. We have victory over every bit of that. Stand up. Do you guys know what the hokey pokey is?
Yeah.
You guys old enough to know the hokey pokey? Huh? Even Eugene, you know the hokey pokey? You know what it is? What's the hokey pokey? This is like the kingdom of heaven, you guys. It's the hokey pokey. You put your right foot in, you pull your right foot out. You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Right? Remember that? Okay. Well, we need to do the hokey pokey and we put our right foot in and we stay in. We put our left foot in and we're in a little further. One will realize we're there. We turn all around and we shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." Amen? It is not a put it in and pull it out thing. Go in and stay. I tell you, the water is good in here. Spend your life in the presence of God. Right? Renew yourself. You're in. I just want to let you know something. You're already in His presence right now. He's already with you right now. You already have the blessing right now.
Amen.
You cannot be disqualified. It's impossible. Sorry. You're in. You are in the kingdom of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. It's just there. Boom, boom, boom. It's there. You're a signer in the account of the checkbook of God. You're allowed to write checks, amen, on His account. But you are the only one that can say it's not true. You are the only one that can say to yourself, this doesn't work. You are the only one that can void you out. You're the only one, your heart. The corruptible has to be changed to incorruption. Oh, you're tying it all together, Lord. Amen? Your words. What do you say? I am what? What do you say? I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You can say I'm blessed.
And I'm predestined.
And he's predestined. Amen. What am I? I'm filled with eternal life. I am whole. I am in the presence of God. I am anointed. I am healed. I am forgiven. I am experiencing the goodness of God. I am. Sometimes I forget. That's why I get to do it every single day, first thing in the morning if I want. And I get in the presence of God and I let Him show me who I am. And I hang out with Him in it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Raise your hands. Let's just take 2 minutes and out of your mouth, I want you to say to the Lord who you are. I am what? And you guys go for it in Jesus' name. I'm going to turn off my microphone and I'm going to do it too. And let's give Jesus a hand clap. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.